Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Eternal Grace, our live worship service online. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is risen from the dead. Let's sing to him. This is our praise song. Sing along with us wherever you are. Come now, Spirit of God. Breathe life into these words of love. This is our praise song. Praise you. Sing it out. We praise you. We worship you. Welcome to Eternal Grace. I woke up this morning and had in my mind, in my heart, a very strong message and just connecting dots on things I was taught within evangelical charismatic Christian circles that were profoundly damaging and unhealthy and unbiblical. And I had such a strong impulse to today give a message on what are some of the most destructive, most unhealthy, most unbiblical teachings in certain circles of Christianity, and how to recognize, recover, and reclaim your life from these teachings. And so there's quite a few of these. There's scores of these. And I'm not going to try to give like a, you know, 10-course meal and give them all in one sermon, but I thought I would give maybe about four or so, kind of a snack size portion, because these are such heavy, important issues to kind of straighten out in your mind and heart so that you can have a healthy walk with the Lord. And so I thought I'd address them and the mindsets and the effects of these.
and do maybe, you know, 3-4 or so each time we address this. It'll probably end up being a series. But the first one I want to address today, this is something that I heard often in the church. And it was something like this. Give up your will completely and make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Give up your will completely and make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. Well, first of all, we don't make Jesus Christ Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. That's what Easter that is upon us is all about. So you don't make him Lord. I think that's language is kind of ridiculous. He is Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the book of Revelation says. But what they mean by this in these church circles is that, you know, you can't have any individual will of your own. You can't have any individual personality of your own. You have to completely give up your mind, heart, will, 24/7, 365. And lose your autonomy, lose any sense of your own decisions or trust in your own self or intuition. And you can't make a move unless you say, your Lord, your will. And, you know, Jesus gave us a beautiful precedent in Luke 11 that God is like a good father, a loving heavenly father. I'm the father of two children, a daughter and a son. And Jesus gave me this scriptural precedent that I can look at how I would be as a father and how much more the perfect Abba, Heavenly Father who loves us. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 11. I'm starting with verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Of course, the answer is no. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, verse 13 of Luke 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now as we tear down the strongholds of some of these toxic teachings, that you would open the eyes, illuminate the eyes and the hearts of those listening, that they may be set free from the snares and bondage of toxic teachings, that they may come to know you in a deeper, more mature, more intimate way as their friend. And I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So Jesus tells us that when he says, if ye then be an evil, the Greek wording is that think of a good father that you know, but keeping in mind that he's not perfect, that I as a father have my character defects, yet I do love my children so much and have a good relationship with Joshua and Karrison. So he's given me a scriptural precedent that I can think about my own heart, that if my children asked me a piece of bread to eat and they were hungry, I would not give them a stone. Or I would not give them a snake or a scorpion if they asked for a piece of fish. So he's saying that you can run some of these toxic teachings through the father filter. I remember watching Joshua and Kara sleep, and they looked like two little cherubs and felt so much love for them. And I felt the Spirit saying to me, Richard, your love for them is just an infinitesimal fraction of how I love you. And so how would I treat my two children? Would I want to take over their minds and make them robots and they have no personality or will of their own? Of course not. So these hellfire preachers that teach you, you can never have any will or desire of your own. Make Jesus Lord of your life. Give up your will completely. The Father, the Heavenly Father, does not want to take over your mind as his child. He does not want you to be a cookie-cutter Christian, a robot. In fact, Philippians 2:13 said, God works in you to will and do the desire of his will. And that word is a word for the internal hearts, the internal desires, the things you like doing. Now, if you were assessing your vocation or what is something that you have a calling to do or that you're to do, one of the best questions you can ask yourself is this: what do I enjoy doing? What is it that I, when I do it, I lose track of time and I feel such a fiery flame of passion and love for it. For me, it's music. I love music. That's one of the things I love doing. I write songs all the time on my guitar. And when I was under the influence of these toxic teachings, here I was, I played guitar professionally since I, even as a child, I played on stage. And when I was under the influence of these folks, they had me give up my guitar. Oh, they said, that's an idol. You enjoy doing that too much. Give that up for God. Make him Lord of your life. And I literally gave up my guitar. I held up my guitar to the sky. Okay, God, I enjoy this too much, and I want to give up my will and my desires and my talents and my gifts and make you Lord of my life. And I was quit playing guitar for a while when I was under the influence of these folks. Now, I guess you could argue maybe I needed a break. I played guitar too much or whatever. But my point is that this is such an unhealthy teaching. Jesus said in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. And you know what God wants you to do? Most of the time, 99.9% of the time, it's what you like doing. It's what you have a gift to do. Now, are there times we surrender our will? Yes. Scripturally, even Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed three times. And, you know, there's a, you know, in biblical interpretation, if something's in the Bible once, pay attention. If it's in twice, it's really important. If it's in three times, really, really look at it. So he did pray three times. And this is the time of year now at the Lent, the Lenten season, in which we think about his going to the cross and his death, burial, and resurrection for our sins. And when he was in that garden, he was under extreme stress. The scripture says that he sweat drops of blood, and that's an actual medical condition of extreme stress when someone sweats drops of blood. And he prayed three times, not my will, but thine be done. If it be possible, let this cup pass. So what does that teach us? It does teach us that there are times in life when you're feeling so overwhelmed that you do need to just cast your anxiety upon him, the scripture says in 1 Peter 5:7, for he careth for you. And there are times when you need to do that because it's just too hard. I've had times in my life where it was so overwhelming and I had to trust God and trust those around me that were helping me. But I would not want my children, yes, I want them to come to me. And at times they may surrender in the sense of saying, Dad, we need your help. I want to turn this over to you. I need my father right now. But I would not want my children 24/7 to feel like they had no will or personality or individuality. Psalm 139 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that's not just our external looks that are unique, or our fingerprint that is unique. It's also intrinsically you inside, you as a person. When Gideon was called to battle, God told him the victory would be the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. In other words, it was God and Gideon together doing the battle. So no, you don't have to give up who you are. You can celebrate who you are. You can trust the still small voice within you and be your own person. And that's the first toxic teaching we're debunking today. God loves you, and God just smiles on you and enjoys when you enjoy what you enjoy doing. I love seeing my kids do what they enjoy doing. My daughter Karis just told me she gave a sermon there in Pittsburgh about Holy Saturday, and at a church there in Allison Park, and she just loved doing it. She studied at Princeton Seminary, and I love hearing that she did something. And God loves when you do something and you feel good about what you did. And another toxic teaching that goes along with that is that you can't take any credit for anything you did, that a compliment is sinful. I have some friends of mine that have been really indoctrinated in this toxic teaching, and one is a singer. And whenever I compliment this singer and say, "Oh, I love your voice," oh, it's God. It's not me. It's God. Give him the glory. Don't give me any glory. And they quote a story in the Bible about a king, I think it might have been Herod, who it said received the praise unto himself, and it was consumed by worms or something like that. Now, this is talking about a hubris and a pride and a narcissism, and we've all seen people, even leaders, and that are very narcissistic and sociopathic. But you can receive a compliment and give yourself credit and endorse yourself and give yourself a pat on the back for a job well done. There's nothing wrong with that, and God smiles on it. So those are the first two. We'll listen to a little bit more worship and be back in a flash. I'm going to give you a few more toxic teachings to watch out for that will actually hurt you psychologically, spiritually, and mentally. So I'll be right back. A little bit more worship. You know, you oil the wheels of a car or a vehicle with oil, or you can oil parts of a machinery with WD-40. Well, the oil that kind of oils the service and the sermon today is the oil of the Holy Spirit, is referred to as oil. David's head was anointed with oil. So the oil of praise, listen to a little bit more, let feel the Holy Spirit upon you, and I'll be back with three more toxic teachings to expose and to help you in your walk. Welcome back to Eternal Grace. We are studying toxic teachings and debunking unbiblical, unhealthy teachings to help you have a healthier walk with the Lord, spiritually, psychologically, mentally. Before that praise song, I gave you the first two. One is that you have to give up your will completely in order to have Christ be Lord of your life. And we saw from the scripture that he's a loving Heavenly Father, and at times we surrender to his will like Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, but that the Lord has put gifts and talents within you, and that you are an individual fearfully and wonderfully made. And then we secondly said that the teaching that you can't have any compliments or praise for yourself or you're stealing glory from God, that God, as our Heavenly Father, affirms us, and that you can give yourself some credit and acknowledgement and say thank you when someone compliments you. And some of these extreme teachings have caused such a detriment to people. Number three, this is a third toxic teaching that I'd heard in the church, and it is that feelings are not important. Feelings are not important. There was a track called The Four Spiritual Laws. It was this little golden track that was very, very popular when I was new in my walk with the Lord, and it had a picture of a train. And on the picture of the train, it had, I think, the first car was fact, and another one was faith. But the caboose of the train was feeling. It basically said that your feelings are not important. It's only what we tell you that the Bible says. And, Jeremiah says, your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So don't pay attention to your feelings. That's not important. And it's only important what we tell you. There was this drawing of the train, and the first part with the chimney and leading the train with the engineer was fact, and then secondly was faith, and then third was feeling. It said that you have to trust the Bible, put your faith in the fact of what the Bible says, and the feeling should be last. And it said, I'll quote you from the track, that the train doesn't need the caboose, which is the feeling. It can run without the caboose. You cannot pull the train by the caboose or the last car in the train. The train is led by the word, fact. Okay. Now, is there a kernel of truth in this? Yes. I mean, even a broken clock is right twice a day, they say. So it is true that sometimes our feelings can mislead us. Sometimes we can feel fear about something that's not real. It's all in our imagination. And fear can be an acronym for false evidence appearing real. However, this degrading of emotions and feelings has been so damaging to countless born-again Christians, because your feelings are very, very important. And feelings are not the caboose that should have nothing to do with the train. Feelings help guide the train. 1 Kings 19:12, the great prophet Elijah was told that the still small voice would guide him. I think the Hebrew is a word for a gentle whisper from inside. And so part of the big shift in growing to a healthier, more mature walk with the Lord is to shift from outside to inside. You see, a lot of the toxic churches will teach things like this because it's a control. It's a way you can be controlled. If you have to put all your trust in the outside of what the pastor tells you and what the church tells you, and you can't trust your own feelings, only trust what we're telling you the Bible says. Because, less than 5% of professing Christians have read the whole Bible. So they're, frankly, quite unfortunately dependent on these preachers and teachers to tell them what it says. So there's no internal guidance where they can trust themselves and learn to know themselves. As what was it, Socrates said, know thyself. So the caboose is led in this cultish mindset by putting your trust in what the denomination, the dogma tells you. When Christ actually said that, we talk about Easter and the resurrection. But part of the meaning of the resurrection and ascension, which Easter is getting closer, is Christ said, if I rise and ascend to the Father, the Holy Spirit will descend upon you and live within you. John 14 gives a whole discourse on that. He ascended or went up so that the Holy Spirit would come down at Pentecost. And in Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. And the Spirit was poured out upon the 120 in the upper room to live within them, to guide them from inside. And sometimes you have a feeling about something. You have a desire or a passion for a certain calling, like something you want to do. Or you enjoy some sort of hobby or vocation or avocation. And, you know, these little signals from within you. And sometimes it's you feel like you need to get away from somebody or something, that it's not healthy. All these feelings from within you are so important to pay attention to. And as you walk with the Lord and you get free from some of these unhealthy and unbiblical sermons, you will learn to trust the Holy Spirit within you. You will learn to trust that your feelings are not the caboose. The feelings are important and will guide you. That's the third toxic teaching that I'm debunking today. Number four on our unbiblical sermons, unhealthy teachings. This one I'm going to call God Wants to Use You. Now, I kind of know what people mean when they pray, oh, use me, God. God wants to use me. God wants to use you. They don't mean anything necessarily bad by it. It's just part of Christianese language that, you know, God has a purpose and plan for you. However, in my time with the Lord, I really felt Jesus revealing to me, Richard, I don't want to use you. Others have used you. Others have exploited you, but I don't want to use you. I want to be your friend. John 15:15, Jesus says that, I no longer call you servants to obey me. I call you my friends. What is the difference between a relationship where someone is a servant, or let's say we don't really have slavery as much today as they did then, but let's say even if you're an employee of somebody, is that different from being their friend? And Jesus says, I no longer want you to look as servants to obey, but as my friends. A friend is someone who, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, like a brother born for adversity. Do you realize as you grow in your faith, as you grow in grace, that you can talk to Jesus anytime about anything? He knows what you're thinking and feeling anyways. Psalm 139 says he knows what you're thinking as you lie upon your bed or as you rise up. He wants you to talk to him about everything. Pour out your heart. You don't have to hold back or hide. Just tell him honestly exactly what you're thinking or feeling as a friend. The old hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus. He is your friend. He doesn't want to use you. I felt used in the church because I had certain gifts that were public platform type of gifts in the sense of, you know, leading, like, for example, leading worship on the guitar or speaking, preaching, teaching. And when my gifts were good for the growing of the church, they were used. I'll use the word used and underline the word they used. But when I was going through a tough time, the number of friends that really would stand by me as a friend was a handful. And so Christ is saying, I don't want to use you. I don't want to treat you as a servant to obey me. You know, so much of these Christian circles under these toxic teachings, you can even hear it in their prayers. I'll go to churches and I'll hear them pray, oh, God, I'm unworthy. Oh, I'm such a worm, but if you would just use me, I know that how can you even look at me? I'm such a horrible sinner. I know I don't deserve you, but use me. I'll obey you. Please help me to be obedient. And they look at themselves as like an animal in a circus where the ringmaster is cracking a whip and they have to obey. And if they don't obey, they'll get it. Toxic teaching. That's not the Heavenly Father who loves you. The last one, the fifth one today, and I'm going to continue this message in the future and I can give you more toxic teachings and how to recover from them. But the fifth one, I'll call it conditional love. That God loves you conditionally. God will love you if. rather than the agape love of God, which is unconditional. We only have one word for love in English that encompasses so many different things. Like I could say I love the Pittsburgh Pirates baseball team, or I love pizza from Joe Peeps, my favorite pizza place, or I love, you know, it's the same word for saying you love, a man loves a woman or a man loves his children as a man loves ice cream. But in the Greek, there's different words for love. We have phileos, brotherly love. The city of Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. There's storge, family love, like two siblings. Eros, erotic love, sexual, romantic love. All these different words for love. But then the highest one, and when it says that God is love in 1 John 4, and he that loveth is born of God, for God is love, 1 John 4, 7 and 8, that word agape is unconditional love. You don't have to do anything. No matter what you do or don't do, God will never love you less. And Romans 8 says that nothing can separate us from his love, in Romans 8, 28 and 29. Let me read to you. Let's turn to Romans 8. Now, this is different because in many church circles, they would probably say, oh, yes, God is agape, unconditional love. They would assent to that verbally, probably theologically, in most churches. But they don't really walk this out in their mindset because it's all about, are you reading the Bible enough? Are you praying enough? Are you giving enough? Are you in service every time the doors are open? Romans 8, 38 and 39. I think a moment ago I said 28 and 29. Forgive me for that misquote. Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good, and that's a great verse too. But Romans 8, 38 is what I'm referring to. For I'm persuaded, I'm reading to you from verse 38 of Romans 8. And Romans 8 is like the icing on the cake, the cherry on the cake. It's one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. Romans 8, 38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's not a conditional love. I remember when my brother died, my youngest brother, we were at the funeral home. And somebody was from a church that was very much under the sway of these toxic teachings. And they brought up a question about my brother's salvation because of some things at the end of his life. And their mindset was that, you know, if you don't toe the line and follow all the rules, God will withdraw his love. And, I mean, here we were grieving, and he implied that he wasn't sure about my brother's salvation because of this. And I looked at him and I said, nothing shall separate him from the love of God. And I quoted this verse in Romans 8, 38, 39. It just quieted that religious spirit, that Pharisee spirit, that toxic teaching, that devilish, demonic lie that God will only love you if you follow everything that that church tells you to do. God is so good and loves you so much, unconditionally. Let's return to a little bit of praise music, and then I'll be back to conclude our service. God bless you. And let us...
I bow down at thy feet.
sing with us, "You Always Fill My Heart." With songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you. Father, that we can trust in you. Thank you for making us, creating us. Thank you for a roof over our head and food to eat. Pray for those that are sick and oppressed. We rebuke all sickness, all oppression off of them in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you create us as individuals, not as cookie-cutter Christians, and that you work in us to will and do the good pleasure of your will, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And thank you that you love us, Lord, so much. We love you too, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. I'm going to do a little worship on my guitar here live for y'all. Join in and sing with me. Father, we love you. We love. Praise you. We praise you and adore you. And adore you. Glorify your name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. In all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. In all the earth.
love you, praise you and adore you. We praise you and adore you. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. All the earth, in all the earth. You left your word to guide us. Your presence lives inside us like a sweet, sweet perfume, like a sweet, sweet perfume. Prayers are very precious. Your prayers are very precious. They reach the heart of Jesus like a sweet, sweet perfume, like a sweet, sweet perfume. Don't ever think that you're worthless. Don't ever think that you're worthless. You have his life within. You have his life within. You are a sweet, wholesome fragrance. You are a sweet, wholesome fragrance. You're so valuable to him. So valuable to him. My children, I love you so much. My spirit lives inside you. My kingdom is within you. My servants, I call you my friends. Consider how he loves you. Consider how loves you. His arms of love enfold you. His arms of love enfold you like a sweet, sweet perfume. Sweet perfume. He left his word to guide you. He left his word to guide you. His presence lives inside you. His presence lives inside you like a sweet, sweet perfume. Your prayers are very precious. Your prayers are very precious. They reach the heart of Jesus. They reach the heart of Jesus. Like a sweet, sweet perfume, like a sweet, sweet perfume. Consider how he loves you. His love for you is unconditional, agape love. It's not a conditional love. It's not a love that says you have to do all these things to earn it. There's nothing that you could do that could cause God to love you any more or less. He loves you with an eternal, everlasting love. An eternal, everlasting love. This is a song I wrote about how we see God in nature. It's so healing when you get outside and hear those birds or see those beautiful trees or flowers or see the ocean. This is a song about how his love is seen in all of nature that I wrote. It's a love song to the Lord, and I'll teach it to you. You tell me in the blue sky that you love me. You tell me in the blue sky that you love me. You whisper it in the leaves. You whisper it in the leaves that are on the trees. On a tree. You end my day with the beauty of a sunset. You end my day with the beauty of a sunset. You rest me with a cool and gentle breeze. You rest me with a cool and gentle breeze. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your love. You shout it when the mountain streams are flowing. You shout it when the mountain streams are flowing. You clothe me with the rays of warm sunshine. You clothe me with the rays of your warm sunshine. Your love for me is deeper than the ocean. Your love for me is deeper than the ocean. I am yours. I am yours. You are mine. You are mine. Thank you, Father, for your love. For your love. Thank you, Father, for your love. More love, more power, more of you in my life. Life, I will worship you with all. all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. You are my
make you Lord of our life. You're already Lord. You're already King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords. Glory. Hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of peace. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of peace. Glory, hallelujah, you're King of kings and Lord of lords. Glory, hallelujah, King of kings and Lord of lords. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus, Prince of peace. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus, Prince of peace. Glory, hallelujah, you're Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us and love us unconditionally, that you provide all our needs according to your riches and glory. We thank you for loving us, being our Heavenly Father, that you no longer call us servants that are obedient to be used, but you said that you call us your friends in John 15:15. Thank you that you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that we can talk to you about anything and everything, for you already know our thoughts and feelings, as Psalm 139 says, before we even verbalize them. We can be completely intimate and honest with you. We thank you that you gave us all individual gifts and talents, and what we do with them is our gift back. And in those times that are difficult, like the Footprints poem says, there's one track of footprints in the sand that you carry us during those times, those Garden of Gethsemane times, like you walked through at this time of year preparing for the cross, and you said, thy will, not mine be done. There's those times we just put things in your hands and say, we cast it upon you for your care for us. And then there's the other times, Lord, where you empower us and we reclaim our lives and walk in the things that you've ordered our steps and the walking out the desires and talents you've given us. I thank you so much, Jesus, for everybody that's listening today. We love you so much. If you want to call in and give a comment or a prayer request or anything, you can call in our number. Our call-in number is 347-637-2379. Or you can send your prayer request to richardrossilive@gmail.com. richardrossilive@gmail.com. I'm going to go to Chaplain Josie on line one.
Hi,
Josie. How are you?
Well, I'm okay, but listen, you know I've been questioning Christianity because of the behavior of Christians.
Yes.
And I'll give you one example that is so horrifying to me. I assume the governor of Georgia is a Christian because he's not Jewish and he's not Muslim. He lives in the Bible Belt. But he's just made this rule, which is totally against the teachings of Jesus, where they will arrest anyone that brings food or water to voters that are lining up.
Mm.
I mean, how unchristian can you get? And it's all about voter suppression because
yes.
Georgia lost its Republican senators and it went liberal. So, I mean, they are so against the teachings of Jesus.
Yes. Yes, and we know what Jesus said about if you bring a cup of water to anybody, it says in Matthew, you will not lose your reward for what you've done to the least of these you've done unto me.
I know.
And when I was thirsty, you gave me drink.
Right. Right. So it's so frightening. Christianity has been hijacked.
Yes,
there's no doubt about it. I still love Jesus, but I will not be called a Christian anymore. I'm a believer, and I'm a people of the way. People of the way is what they call Jesus followers. And Christian was a derogatory term by the enemies of Jesus.
Mm.
So...
That's true, yes. At Antioch, when they called them Christians, they were mocking them.
Right.
Yes.
I guess Stephanie just walked in because Pinky just came to say hello.
Well, great. So Dante's
we're on the radio.
Stephanie's dog has just arrived, huh?
Yes.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
We're live on the air, Stephanie. Everyone out there in Radio Land just heard Stephanie say hi. Her dogs just came over to visit Josie, their neighbors. And you can see this dynamic duo of Stephanie and Josie in our film Canaan Land, which is now streaming on Vimeo. It's probably going to be shortly on Amazon and ChristianCinema.com also, but that's in the works. But hi, Stephanie. We've been talking about exposing some unbiblical, unhealthy teachings that have gone around in the church so that people can know the real Jesus.
Amen, brother. It's been hard, Richard, these past few months since your movie came out because I just get stopped on the street. It's really impossible just to live a normal life.
Yeah, the paparazzi are all over you and Josie like bees on honey, huh?
Like a homeless woman to get away with anything.
Well, I'm sorry I made you two so famous.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yes.
Yes. Fame is a trial.
It's a
trial. Well, like the song that you and I wrote, Josie, what was it, The Price of Fame?
Can you pay the price of fame?
Yes. Yes. We'll have to get that song out there streaming soon.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I have the original recording we did. May have to just do another one so we can get it out there again.
Another one because actually your melody was better than the one that was recorded.
Oh,
well,
okay.
I'm going to go, but I'm going to take your dog with my dog, dress up like a homeless person, and go to the park.
Okay.
So I don't get...
Well, we appreciate you calling in, Josie and Stephanie, and God bless you both.
God bless you, Richard. And praise
you.
For Richard's knee that he's been having a problem with.
Oh,
oh you believe it. And pray for Mara Lou, Stephanie's roommate.
She just
took to get a brain scan. We think she had a slight stroke.
Oh, yes. Tell Mara Lou we'll be praying for her. I'll close us in prayer, I guess, here since we're running out of time.
Richard, God bless.
Bless you. I pray, Jesus, for healing for Mara Lou's stroke and all her capacities to come back to her. You've given her a long life, Mara Lou. She's been a matinee idol actress, Mara Lou Gray, for many years, and she's
been for decades in Hollywood, an influential person, and we thank you. You've given her a long life into her 80s, like Moses and many others, Joshua and Caleb, and we ask you to strengthen her and restore her capacities. We pray for all, including myself, that have been suffering out there, for your love and healing mercies to be upon all who are sick. We thank you for this teaching today. I pray it'll get recirculated, the replays, and people will listen to it again. I think it's just so important to understand the real Jesus and recover from the toxic teachings that are out there. Bless you all for listening, and we'll close out with a little praise and worship music from a live service pre-COVID when we were all gathered together. And we look forward to gathering together again sometime soon. God bless you all.